Welcome to Hoosier Ag This Week. It's late May in Indiana, which means planting progress, the greatest spectacle in racing, and most importantly, a deep reverence for the fallen heroes who secured our freedom to farm. We've got a packed show lined up for this holiday weekend that illustrates all three.
It's Ryan Martin's version of Goldilocks and the Three Bears this morning, agriculture style. What the heck am I talking about? Hey, stay tuned in just a bit. You'll find out, is it too wet, too dry, or just right?
I'm CJ Miller. The Trump administration says that China has committed to buying $17 billion in U.S. ag products each year over the next 3 years. One Indiana ag leader explains why trade stability between the U.S. and China is a good thing. That story is coming up in just a few.
I'm Andy Eubank. End of this segment, I'll check the markets. It was a quiet Friday session to end the week.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today. You'll meet this year's Indy 500 rookies on today's show and the Indiana dairy farmer who will hand the winner their bottle of milk. We'll make a couple of stops on our crop tour for planting updates, and Greg Allen will join us as well to share the story of some national champion students from North Miami High School. Let's start with the weather, where that planting window appears to only be opening halfway, meaning only half of Indiana will see favorable conditions in this week's Beacon Credit Union planting weather forecast.
Wishing all our farmers a safe and successful planting season, I'm Gus Lukens, your ag lender at Beacon Credit Union. Ag people serving ag people.
Friday and Saturday rains could equal anywhere between a quarter to 1.5 inches, according to Hoosier Ag Today Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin. That will all depend on who gets thunderstorm activity during that stretch. Martin says Sunday does try to turn a bit drier. However, pop-up shower activity from the west and northwest might make that difficult.
This predominantly will affect the northern half of the state. I think we see an additional few hundredths to maybe half an inch of moisture out of that, and that goes right on into early Monday morning.
From Memorial Day Monday through next Friday, Martin's forecast splits the state. In the north,
we go dry. Good evaporation, good sunshine, no major weather issues. But to the south, we do see a very active precipitation setup over the deep south, up through the Tennessee Valley, and close to the Ohio River. So I think we have to watch for showers coming into southern Indiana, let's just say I-70 southward, potentially every day, or at least a couple of times in that Monday through Friday stretch next week, while the north stays dry and gives us an opportunity for field work.
As we turn the calendar to June next weekend, Martin says we can expect to see some more moisture, primarily Sunday the 31st through Tuesday the 2nd.
It's light stuff, but it's pesky. It looks like we have an upper-level low circulation that may park here, just giving us multiple days of a light rain. That effectively will end that wide-open planting window in the north, and it also is going to probably create a little bit of a break for us to get back into the fields because that moisture may not leave completely until we get closer to the 3rd or 4th of June.
As you heard off the top, Martin's full Indiana farm forecast is on the way, and he'll explain his Goldilocks and the Three Bears theory. He's got away with words, doesn't he? That's coming up here in just a few moments. USDA Deputy Secretary Stephen Vaden recently visited Indianapolis to scout locations and lay the groundwork for a major federal presence in Indiana. CJ Miller reports.
We've looked at office space, which USDA might occupy as part of its relocation to Indianapolis as one of five hubs that we've chosen across the country.
That was Deputy Secretary Vaden talking with Agrinovus Indiana during his recent visit to Indianapolis.
We've seen office space downtown. We've seen office space just a little ways away from it. We've talked about space that might be available at Purdue University. And we've met with some of Indiana's agricultural leaders to learn about all of the fusion and synergies that can benefit from USDA's relocation here.
It was several weeks ago that USDA announced that Indianapolis would serve as the new headquarters for the SNAP program. Vaden says he's looking for office space that would make the most sense for USDA and their personnel.
I've been particularly interested in thoughts about what other areas of USDA, in addition to our food and nutrition service, which we have already announced will be relocating here to Indiana, might make sense to come to our new hub.
He says Indiana's business diversity has made it an attractive location for USDA.
You have a multiplicity of employers that have a minimum of about 2,500 employees. It's a diversified economy, but it's also focused on ag and biotechnology. other words, you're at the cutting edge of technology. You've got a lot of things dealing with chemistry, and that's going to fit in well with so much of what USDA does, as agriculture is increasingly becoming high tech.
Vaden adds that more hub announcements impacting Indianapolis are on the way.
We're on track. We're doing it mission area by mission area. We're doing that intentionally because we know every mission area is different, and we want to give each mission area the attention that it is due, and they will have different processes that we need to go through with the employees as part of the relocation. But we've still got our farm production and conservation mission area, our rural development mission area, among others that we have yet to announce. There's a trade mission area, our marketing and regulatory programs mission area. Those will all be announced as we head toward summer. And then from there, it's get it into action.
Last year, Vaden told Hoosier Ag Today that USDA's offices and personnel would be in place by early this fall before the start of this upcoming school year. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer. The guy you're about to hear on Hoosier Ag this week is Andy Eubank. We turn to him to talk markets because we head into a three-day holiday weekend now, which can always cause a little bit of volatility. Andy, how did we finish the week?
Thanks, Eric. It was a volatile week, but on Friday, we went out and into the weekend with a bit of a whisper, near even and low volume during Friday trade. We'll have the final settlements coming up. We begin, though, with market analysis. I checked in the middle of the session with Brian Basting, Advanced Trading, for that. Couple cent gains going into a three-day holiday weekend for the corn, soybean, and wheat markets, although wheat working back and forth, but it was a quiet day. And probably, Brian, we were due for a little bit of short covering anyway going into the weekend after a week of losses overall.
We're seeing some short covering here before the weekend. We've got a lot of time yet, as it were, between now and 8 p.m. Monday evening when the markets reopen there. And a lot can change, whether it's domestically here, but lately geopolitically. But you're right, we've seen some weakness here. We've yet to see confirmation from China that they were going to come in here and to make additional purchases now. It may just be a case of them waiting to see if the market would drift a little bit lower here before they come in and buy. That's not a prediction, but it's not unprecedented that they would do that. But we did see some export sales news here on Friday of corn sales to Mexico, corn sales to unknown. And we did see a soybean meal sale also to unknown destinations. So a little bit of export business on this price weakness, and just enough to maybe give us a little, as you said, a bit of a bounce before the holiday weekend.
Chinese news slow to come as far as confirmation on their end, and also the Iran news back and forth really continues. We never know from one day to the next what the headlines might say.
There's no question that China is an accomplished trader. They know that they can push the market with their actions as such, or lack of actions, perhaps. In this case, the lack of aggressive buying so far in response to that news, obviously that they will be buying additional ag products from the U.S. It doesn't mean they won't come in here at some point. I don't want to give that impression at all. But in the absence of that news, absence of that confirmation, has drifted lower here.
Brian Basting of Advanced Trading with his view of the markets. Get Brian at 309-664-2314. On the Hat Friday market review, up just a little in corn, July 463 1/4, up a penny and a quarter higher September, 469 3/4. Dees 486 1/2, up a penny and a half. July beans 1196 1/2, a gain of 2 1/4, 1 1/2 better. August 1195. Novi 1187 3/4, up an even penny, down a penny and a quarter. July wheat 646 1/4. June live cattle rebounded to go 15 cents higher in quiet trade, 249.30. And on Friday, June lean hogs, 95.75, up 62. And that's our market review. Much more still on the way on the Weekend Show. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag This Week.
To all Farm Credit customers, I'm Lance Victor. I'm a row crop farmer farming across four Indiana counties with experience in livestock and real estate. I believe in being a Christ-centered husband and a dad who values hard work with integrity and common sense leadership. I'd be honored to serve as your Indiana voice on the Farm Credit Mid-America Board of Directors. A voting packet will be mailed to U.S. customers, and there you can vote by mail or online. Vote Lance Fichter, committed to our farms, our families, and our futures.
Farm Credit Mid-America neither opposes nor endorses any candidate for election for the Board of Directors.
A soggy weekend across the Hoosier State. Well, more soggy in some spots than others, but dry weather tries to take control as well in the weeks ahead. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's weekend weather outlook. As I kind of teased earlier, it's my version of Goldilocks and the Three Bears. You remember the story. This porridge is too hot. This porridge is too cold. This porridge is just right. Okay. All right. That's what we've got across the Hoosier State right now when it comes to ground condition. This ground is too wet. There's plenty of you that are in that category. This ground is too dry. Not many of you in that category, but if you miss rains, they're coming here through the balance of today and tomorrow. Maybe you're in that category. It wasn't too long ago that I heard some irrigators running in areas of the state. So maybe there's some of that. And then this ground is just right. That's what I think we end up with this week going forward, especially in northern parts of the state. Let's get into it. Here for the soggy part, we've got moisture that started back yesterday, last night, coming up from the south, working through the entirety of the Hoosier State here. By the time we wind things down mid-afternoon today, I think we'll end up with probably quarter to three quarters of an inch going all the way back to yesterday. But we're not necessarily done there yet. It's going to take a decent while for clouds to break up, probably doing so closer to sunset. We're seeing nothing overnight tonight. And then a second wave of moisture wants to hit tomorrow morning through early afternoon. I'm going to put this largely in northern Indiana, I-70 north, but we could see an additional few hundreds to maybe 4 or 5 tenths or so. And I won't rule out some spotty showers south of 70. I just think the best moisture is going to be up north through your Sunday. So cloudy, damp, soggy, temperatures held down because of this as well. Getting into Memorial Day on Monday, that's when we start to dry down statewide. I see no rain across the entire state on Memorial Day. Great for the holiday. Be out and about to celebrate. You got it. But as you look at your radar pictures and the nation as a whole, take a good look down farther to the south. Lower Mississippi River Valley, deep south, we're starting to see some significant moisture pool there, and that will be the thorn in the side of southern Indiana through most of this upcoming week. In the north, look, we're going to go dry. We're going to go dry from Memorial Day, Monday, right on through June 3rd. No precipitation. Great for field work. Get after it, guys. In the southern part of the state, though, I think we have to deal with on-again, off-again showers Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, just as this moisture tries to come up out of the deep south, out of the Tennessee Valley. Not huge totals, but this is over ground that is already saturated from what we saw come through this past week. So plenty of moisture there. By the end of this coming week, we're dry everywhere in the state, and we should see great evaporation. And even the following week, the week of the first full week of June, not a lot of moisture coming. I'm Ryan Martin.
Planting season is here, and Beacon Credit Union is proud to stand beside the farmers who make it all happen. We're here to help with flexible lines of credit, equipment financing, and real estate loans built for your operation. At Beacon, it's ag people serving ag people, committed to your success in every season. Start at beaconcu.org. Insured by ASI, not federally insured EHO lender.
Welcome back to Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today. And for Hoosiers, late May means a lot of things. Planting season is either wrapped up or in full swing. It's the start of summer. And of course, it's race weekend in Indianapolis. Amidst all the pageantry and horsepower at 16th and Georgetown, there is a deeper sacred pulse to these few days. The Indy 500 doesn't just happen to fall on Memorial Day weekend. It actively carries the torch of remembrance for the millions of brave men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country. Whether you're headed to the track this weekend for the greatest spectacle in racing or watching from home, because you won't have to watch it on a delay this year due to the sellout, be sure to take in the traditions before the green flag drops at the Brickyard, from the playing of taps to the military flyovers. The Indianapolis 500 has been intrinsically tied to Memorial Day for over a century to honor those who gave that ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms, and for that, we are forever grateful. Obviously, traditions are aplenty at the Indy 500, and one in particular holds a special place for farmers. Winners don't just take the checkered flag, they take the milk. Another tradition fueling the countdown to race day is the annual Rookie Celebration presented by American Dairy Association Indiana. C.J. Miller introduces you to this year's rookies and the Indiana dairy farmer who will present this year's winner, their glass of milk.
This year's fastest rookie is Mick Schumacher, driving the number 47 Honda for Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan Racing. He'll start from 27th at the Brickyard on Sunday. He tells Hoosier Ag today that drinking an ice-cold bottle of milk as the winner of the Indy 500 is the biggest part of the post-race celebration.
It's a great tradition. It's an amazing thing to do, and if you're lucky to do it, it means you did everything right that day.
Rookie Dennis Hauger drives the number 19 car for Dale Coyne Racing and will start 29th.
I don't think I ever go a day without drinking milk, so it's very common in Norway, and that's what I grew up with.
Jacob Abel, the third rookie in this year's 500, drives the number 51 car for Abel Motorsports and will start 30th. He says he wants one specific kind of milk if he takes the checkered flag.
I'm a whole milk guy. You know, I love whole milk. You know, got all that protein in it. I'm a big fan of coffee, big latte guy. Always want the whole milk in there. So I'm always getting whole milk. Love whole milk.
The fourth and final rookie, Kyle Collette, had originally qualified 10th, but was disqualified after his car failed a post-qualifying inspection. Collette drives the number 4 car for AJ Foyt Racing and will now start 32nd in Sunday's race. He and the other rookies also took part in another tradition at the rookie luncheon, milking a dairy cow from the Purdue Dairy Club named Bertha.
It was my first time ever milking a cow, and was just super nice and really a fun experience for all the rookies to do that. It's really cool.
Whomever wins the Indy 500 will be greeted with that ice-cold bottle of milk in Victory Circle by Steuben County dairy farmer Ashley Stockwell, this year's veteran milk person.
To be a third-generation dairy farmer and to be on national stage and represent 700 Indiana dairy farm families, and then be able to represent all the dairy farmers nationwide, especially the female farmers, and be an example for my daughter. To be able to do that's really honoring and humbling, represent our community, our farm. You know, it does take a lot of effort and hard work. You know, as dairy farmers, we are 24/7, just as IndyCar is. And so be the face of dairy for the Indy 500 and where two worlds collide, you know, I'm honored and excited to be able to do that.
Check out our video from this year's Fastest Rookie Luncheon presented by American Dairy Association Indiana. It's at HoosierAgToday.com, also at Hoosier Ag Today's YouTube channel and Facebook page. I'm CJ Miller.
All right, CJ, thanks. Also becoming a tradition at the track during the annual rookie celebration, the unveiling of this year's milkshake that will be presented at the American Dairy Association Indiana Dairy Bar during the Indiana State Fair.
Blue Raspberry will be the new milkshake at the Dairy Bar at the State Fair.
That's American Dairy Association Indiana CEO Jenny Browning.
Kids love blue raspberry, right? That sour is very popular. So it has a little bit of sour, but it's also sweet. And it's a little bit of a vanilla, but a nice, what I would say, finish, because it doesn't have any aftertaste. So I really feel like it would be refreshing on some of those 80, 90 degree weather days at the State Fair.
Joining the blue raspberry shake on the Dairy Bar menu will be this year's featured grilled cheese, the Big Dill. And as you can imagine, it has some dill pickle and some dill seasoning as well. Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. This year's Indiana State Fair will run August 7th through the 23rd and will be closed on Mondays. A new trade commitment from China could reshape the outlook for America's farmers. CJ Miller has more now.
China has agreed to buy at least $17 billion a year in U.S. ag products through 2028, on top of earlier soybean deals, signaling a potential thaw in one of agriculture's most critical and volatile markets.
Well, on two major fronts, this is an incredible success.
That's Ted McKinney, CEO of NASDA, the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture.
First, setting aside the wins on specific commodities and things, is the fact that I think we're seeing more stability between China and the U.S. And that was a stated goal of both Xi Jinping and President Trump. And so if we can reach some point of detente, stability, that means the results that you've seen announced can continue.
McKinney, who served as USDA Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Affairs during President Trump's first term, points to other developments, including restored market access for U.S. beef into China and resumed imports of U.S. poultry from areas cleared of bird flu.
And really, all of those things were things that we negotiated in the so-called Phase 1 agreement back under Trump 45. So this is a good day, and the announcements are fantastic. And let's don't forget, there are some biotechnology traits that have been languishing. Can't introduce them across several of our key crops. And we hear those too are to be approved, at least at some level.
Even as lower-cost competitors like Brazil expand their footprint, McKinney says that China's need for a reliable, diversified food supply keeps the door open for America's producers. McKinney says the challenge now is to deliver on quality, sustainability, and consistency. Because if this fragile stability holds, today's commitments could translate into lasting opportunity across America's farm economy. I'm CJ Miller.
Thank you, CJ. And sad news this past week, as Hoosier Ag Today learned of the passing of an Indiana ag leader who served as second vice president for Indiana Farm Bureau after being elected in December 2023. Janice Hiley passed away at the age of 57. We'll have more on this on next weekend's show, and you can find more now at HoosierAgToday.com.
Ag Bioscience, the number one ag tech podcast globally, is now available on video. Hear the latest from innovators in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture.
These data-driven support tools are they are already becoming an incredibly important part of the decision-making process in ag, specifically for farmers. We've seen our team internally become more trusting of these solutions, and they used to be maybe we would question some of the insights or the what we were learning from it, and now we're becoming much more trusting of the information and data and the recommendations that are coming from these tools. I believe that the farmer is the next group that will, you know, take those tools and figure out how to implement them effectively on their farm operation. So obviously AI decision support tools, I think, will be a really important part of the next 5 years.
Get more episodes online at agrinovusindiana.com. Click on podcasts. Also available wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to Hoosier Ag This Week from Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. Thanks for making us part of your weekend. Planting progress continues to wow across the state, and now parts of northern Indiana are joining in the fun. Indiana corn and soybean planting numbers were identical in this week's USDA Crop Progress Report. 67% of the crops are planted, and 42% have emerged. And yes, kids, I see you. Maybe some of you adults, too, doing the silly 6-7 thing just because I said 67% of the crops. I still don't quite get it. Maybe someone can explain it to me. Planting wrapped up last Thursday for West Central Indiana farmer Ryan Rippey on his fields in Fountain, Montgomery, and Tippecanoe counties. He says he's feeling in pretty good shape.
Probably going to spend some time today walking some fields and making sure the emergence on everything is looking good. Some of that corn and beans that we planted there in the last week of April was struggling with emergence before this rain, and hoping this rain that we got over the weekend kind of helped it get through that. But need to do some stand assessments and just see how things are coming up and if there's any replanting potential. We need to take a look at that.
If you continue to move along that western side of the state north about 150 miles, you'll run into Denise Scarborough's LaPorte County Farm, where things have progressed slowly so far this spring. But she says this past week has been dry, and they've taken advantage of the weather.
They finally let us start planting some seed corn this week. We've had some warmer weather. We have missed a couple of rain showers, hoping to get a little bit of rain this week to help some of those crops pop through the ground. But other than that, we've had actually a week of some decent weather for Northwest Indiana, and pretty happy about that. Planters are rolling everywhere, and people are finally starting to get some good crops in the ground, and some people are finishing up.
That was Monday when I spoke with Denise Scarborough, and of course, as soon as we got off the phone, she got more than just the little rain she was asking for, as heavy rains came pouring in like it did for much of the state. Also in USDA's Monday Crop Progress Report, Indiana winter wheat was rated 73% good to excellent. Nationally, only 27% is rated good to excellent. U.S. corn planting, 76% complete. Soybeans, again, 67% planted. Tighter margins, higher interest rates, and skyrocketing input costs, all putting a significant squeeze on the ag economy. It's also forcing farmers to shift their focus from just producing a crop to meticulously managing their financial data. CJ Miller reports on new tools and resources that can help producers.
Nathaniel Watts, head of Ag Retail Credit with Farm Credit Mid-America, says today's economic climate demands that farmers become much more intentional with their numbers.
It's one thing to be able to produce bushels, but it's another thing to also be able to look at your finances and know what the data is telling you and use that data to make data-driven, intentional, confident decisions for your operation.
To help producers find clarity in that data, Farm Credit Mid-America has launched a new initiative called Balance Sheet Basics.
For some producers, doing a balance sheet is a thing that they do at the end of every year because their lender is asking for it. And I think that that intimidation factor can really be limited the more their financial acumen is increased, the more confidence they have in what the data is telling them.
Watt stresses that relying solely on a lender to interpret those numbers strips away a producer's proactivity. When farmers truly understand their own balance sheets, they gain the confidence to make critical long-term decisions, like knowing exactly when to hold off on a land purchase or when their operation is stable enough to upgrade equipment. Producers looking to increase their financial confidence can find free educational tools and resources at fcma.com/balance-sheet-basics. I'm CJ Miller.
And to wrap up today's show, the story of students from a small northern Indiana school making national headlines after an unprecedented performance at one of the country's top ag science competitions. Here's Greg Allen.
Students from North Miami Community Schools captured both the National Championship and Reserve National Championship at the 75th Annual National Land and Range Judging Contest. Educators and contest organizers believe this may be the first time a single school has earned both first and second place overall in the same year. According to their coach, Jim Wildermuth,
quite a feat for these kids. We can't find written records of anybody doing that, but I know a retired teacher that I replaced has been there 37 or so years, and he doesn't remember ever seeing that happen.
More than 1,000 students from over 37 states competed in events focused on land evaluation, soil science, and environmental stewardship.
I think one of the keys was this group, it doesn't come easy to some of them academically, so they had to just really put in the extra time and effort and a lot of extra reps, and that paid off this year.
Wildermuth said the accomplishment highlights the strength of agricultural education programs in rural Indiana and the hard work of students dedicated to conservation and land management skills.
The 4-H and FFA programs are extremely important, especially in the leadership categories. You know, we use agriculture as the foundation to teach those skills, like the leadership and the career development event. And I just think that really that is the most important part of our programs.
Find the full story on our website, HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Greg Allen.
What an accomplishment. Congratulations to North Miami's FFA and 4-H groups. That puts a bow on another edition of Hoosier Ag This Week, and many of us across Indiana will be out in the fields, if weather allows, spending time with family, firing up the grill, or taking in the big race this Memorial Day weekend. But let's make sure we take a quiet moment to look out across our land and remember the brave men and women who gave their lives to protect it. From all of us at Hoosier Ag today, have a safe, productive, and meaningful Memorial Day weekend. We'll do this again next week, same hat time, same hat channel. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.